You're listening to Vatican Radio.
The Pontifical Commission for the Protection of Minors concluded its four-day plenary assembly on Sunday with a renewed commitment to its mandate as an advisory body to the Holy Father for the protection of minors. In an interview with Vatican Radio, Commission member Jesuit Father Hans Zollner spoke of the key areas of focus during the plenary and of the lessons learnt during the past 3 years of work. He also spoke of the encouragement expressed by Pope Francis during a private audience at the start of the plenary and of his ongoing support since the commission was established.
The Pontifical Commission for the Protection of Minors has been established first in March 2014 and with full membership then in February 2015. That is, for about 3 years now, this commission has been established and worked, which means before that there wasn't such a commission. And as the Holy Father said last Thursday in the audience, he intends to continue the mandate of a newly composed membership, but the commission will continue. The biggest indirect achievement is that the commission exists, and by way of this, the commission has been able to promote intervention and safeguarding. Formation sessions has achieved that the theme of sexual abuse of minors committed by clergy is a topic that is now present in all local churches, that many local churches have already had formation sessions, have already sent in their guidelines to the Holy See, how to deal with victims of abuse, how to deal with perpetrators, what we can do in terms of safeguarding in schools, in the parishes, etc. And we have a number of concrete things that have been achieved, like a day of prayer for victims, a model for guidelines that has been sent out to all bishops' conferences. We have had an educational day on how does the Latin American church in the Spanish-speaking countries work in the schools. You have many Catholic schools there. In terms of safeguarding, we have started a theological reflection. What does it mean? The sexual abuse crisis for the theological understanding of the church, of our core spiritual convictions, like how does redemption come about, redemption for people who have not sinned, but who have been submitted to horrible crimes. So one major working group effort has been the one for the working group of contact with survivors and victims of abuse that has had constant interaction with single victims, with groups of victims, and we have come up with some suggestion to the Holy Father, a proposal how the voice of victims can be heard also for the renewed membership of the Commission in a new mandate, how it can be even stronger, more focused, and capable of having a real impact on the work of the Commission and beyond that.
And what are the lessons learned? What would you say?
The lessons that we learned are, first, that we have had to deal with expectations that went far beyond our remit, our scope, and that went far beyond our capacities, personal, time-wise, energy-wise. And that was unfortunately also reflected in publicly mirrored expectations, like we would do away with every single case of sexual abuse, we would solve every case that has ever happened. This is possibly not achievable, neither by one commission nor by one organization only. So we had to deal with this kind of imagination that the commission would be magically do away with cases and would do away with all the wrongdoings that have happened over decades. That is unfortunately not possible. I think we have to communicate 100 and 1,000 times again and again that this is not the remit of the commission. We do not deal with cases. The cases are dealt with the dicasteries, especially Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. And the Holy Father in the audience on Thursday repeated that he wants to send more personnel to that congregation so that the cases can be dealt with more expediently and to the better of all parties involved. The second is we needed to focus. We started off with a huge program, a huge horizon of work. We started with 16 working groups and we cut it down then to 6, incorporating different ones into a bigger one because we realized that not everybody in and on the commission had the necessary preparation and the necessary background in terms of an institution, or the backing, better, of an institution that could help him or her to work in that field. So we have focused, and I think while focusing, we achieved more concrete results, like the things that I've already mentioned.
What are now the goals or the targets for the renewed commitment of the Commission for the next years?
We have, I think, 3 major areas of a commitment that we have written to the next membership, whoever that will be. One is that the voice of survivors and victims is heard. Those who have been harmed by a clergy in a sexual way should have a voice, and that should inform the commission in whatever structure that is best. We have consulted, we have heard, we have read much material about that. For example, how the English commission works, how some German and German-speaking investigations worked, and the model was that there are so-called advisory panels from the side of victims and survivors who are not members of such an investigatory or policy-making body, simply for the fact that they are more free to, seemingly, according to the experience that has been shared with us, by survivors, of course, whom we asked about this, so that they can really be strong and decisive in their observations and in their proposals. The second area that we certainly want to continue after having done 200 plus workshops, lectures, encounters, meetings, formative events for bishops' conferences, for religious congregations, for principals of Catholic schools, and so forth. We have done, each one of us was involved in about altogether 200 and plus such educational events. I have traveled to 50 countries and I have met bishops, conferences, provincials, lay volunteers in parishes, and many other people. So we want to continue this for the church worldwide and in the Holy See. We have started last year with educational seminars for the staff of dicasteries, that means ministries here in the Holy See, and of course we want to continue that, and we want to set up a more cohesive and more stringent ongoing formation program for this. And the third area is many areas, many questions that that are connected with our topics, the promotion of coherent guidelines, questions of canonical process, theology and spirituality in the face of this abuse crisis, and the educational seminars on formation for the laity, for families, and for schools.
Without any doubt, with Pope Francis, you have really a big sponsor of this project. Can you tell us what touched you most, especially now in the last audience you had with the Pope, where the Pope was very open with you? What was touching you most?
What touched me most last Thursday is what touched me many times when I met him, and especially in the meeting that he had with survivors from Germany, England, and Ireland in 2014. His heart goes out to these people. His heart goes out to people who have been harmed tremendously in a horrific way. His heart is with them and stays with them. So it is, as he has shared with me also on Thursday personally, he told me that he remembers clearly the two survivors of abuse whom he had met in 2014 who came from Germany, and he inquired about them. So these persons are very much alive in his prayer, as he said, and in his memory. And the most touching, maybe, of all sentences in the audience on Thursday was, the Pope said, "I have learned from the survivors." So I think that is something that every bishop, every responsible person in the church needs to listen to and needs to repeat. listening to survivors.
That was Jesuit Father Hans Zollner, member of the Pontifical Commission for the Protection of Minors.